For those of you who want to follow along, go ahead and turn to 1 Kings chapter 21. A major junk food company advertised a slogan a few years back that said, "Bet you can't eat just one." In that case, they were trying to sell you on the idea that their food tastes so good that one just would not be enough to satisfy your craving. I'm sure they were very unwitting in the fact that they were providing a parallel to describing man's sinful nature. Very rarely does one sin stand all alone. Instead, one sin typically leads to another, then another, oftentimes pulling others into sin too. Sometimes these additional sins are because of our hunger for sin not being satisfied with just the first one. Other times it is because one just simply leads to another. Just as one may have a hard time only eating one potato chip and then stopping, we often do not commit just one sin and then stop. In our text today, I will grant up front that King Ahab and Queen Jezebel were not followers of God at this point. In fact, they represent two of the most wicked people depicted in all of Scripture, although God himself refers to Ahab's repentance later in this very chapter. However, I want to use this passage to help us see how one sin leads to another. Starting in verse 1, "Now Naboth the Jezreelite had a vineyard in Jezreel beside the palace of Ahab, king of Samaria. And after this, Ahab said to Naboth, 'Give me your vineyard that I may have it for a vegetable garden, because it is very near my house, and I will give you a better vineyard for it, or if it seems good to you, I will give you its value in money.' But Naboth said to Ahab, 'The Lord forbid that I should give you the inheritance of my fathers.' And Ahab went into his house vexed and sullen because of what Naboth the Jezreelite had said to him, for he had said, 'I will not give you the inheritance of my fathers.' And he lay down on his bed and turned away his face and would eat no food." At this point, we see definitely the sin of coveting. And anyone who has children can have the image in your own mind of how King Ahab is behaving. I envision him curled up in a fetal position, sucking his thumb with the way he's described because he didn't get what he wanted. Then going on in verse 5, and I'm not going to pretend that I'm going to catch every sin in this series of passages, so I'll just highlight a few of them. "But Jezebel, his wife, came to him and said to him, 'Why is your spirit so vexed that you eat no food?' And he said to her, 'Because I spoke to Naboth the Jezreelite and said to him, "Give me your vineyard for money, or else if it please you, I will give you another vineyard for it." And he answered, 'I will not give you my vineyard.'" I can almost see his bottom lip sticking out as he is pouting about this. "And Jezebel, his wife, said to him, 'Do you now govern Israel? Arise and eat bread and let your heart be cheerful. I will give you the vineyard of Naboth the Jezreelite.'" So she's getting ready to abuse the power that they have, power that was granted to them by the Lord in their position. "So she wrote letters in Ahab's name and sealed them with a seal. And she sent the letters to the elders and the leaders who lived with Naboth in his city." Okay, here's possible forgery or lying if Ahab was unaware of what she was doing. "And she wrote in the letters, 'Proclaim a fast and set Naboth at the head of the people, and set two worthless men opposite him, and let them bring a charge against him, saying, "You have cursed God and the king. Then take him out and stone him to death." And the men of his city, the elders and the leaders who lived in his city, did as Jezebel had sent word to them. As it was written in the letters that she had sent to them, they proclaimed a fast and set Naboth at the head of the people. And the two worthless men came in and sat opposite him. And the worthless men brought a charge against Naboth in the presence of the people, saying, "Naboth cursed God and the king." So here's some dishonesty. "So they took him outside the city and stoned him to death with stones. Then they sent to Jezebel, saying, 'Naboth has been stoned, he is dead.'" So the murder of Naboth is now complete. "As soon as Jezebel heard that Naboth had been stoned and was dead, Jezebel said to Ahab, 'Arise, take possession of the vineyard of Naboth the Jezreelite, which he refused to give you for money, for Naboth is not alive but dead.' And as soon as Ahab heard that Naboth was dead, Ahab arose to go down to the vineyard of Naboth the Jezreelite to take possession of it." His covetousness was now consummated. He didn't ask questions. His covetousness was so strong that he did not even ask how it came about that he now had possession of the land. Now, before you say to yourself that a believer could never fall into a similar spiral, consider David, who is repeatedly described in Scripture as a man after God's own heart, and his own spiral of sin that started with seeing Bathsheba on her rooftop. When we recognize that we have sinned, may we trust in the help of the Holy Spirit to enable us to break the chain of sins that we have started. We must also fight against getting pulled into the cycles of sin started by others. When we recognize that we have sinned, may the people of faith be reminded that we have a God who has provided a means of forgiveness, the only true means of forgiveness. This forgiveness is not only for part of our sins, but for all of them. Colossians 2, 13 through 14 reads, "And you who were dead in your trespasses and uncircumcision of your flesh, God made alive together with him, having forgiven us all our trespasses by canceling the record of debt that stood against us with its legal demands. This he set aside, nailing it to the cross." I imagine those verses were part of the inspiration for my favorite verse of the song, "It Is Well With My Soul." My sin, oh, the bliss of this glorious thought, my sin, not in part but the whole, is nailed to the cross, and I bear it no more. Praise the Lord, oh, my soul. Let us pray. Lord, we humbly bow our heads and our hearts before you. We know that all of us are guilty of sin. We can see in Scripture and in the lives of others and in our own lives examples of one sin leading to more and more sins. No one can sin just once. We see one person's sin drag others into sins of their own. Convict us of our sins, Lord. Create in us a hunger for your righteousness that leads us to live more holy lives. Help us to break out of the cycles of sin in our own lives so that we can live more effectively for your glory. Help us to avoid getting caught in the cycles of sin started by others. At the same time, Lord, fill us with gratitude for your sacrifice on our behalf. May our gratitude that all of our sins were nailed to the cross so fill our souls that it overflows to the point where the unbelieving world around us begs to know what makes us different, what gives us hope. We pray that you would use this church both as a body and as unique individuals, as workers in your fields, helping us to bring in your harvest. Amen.